Well, so my name is Carla Wilson, and I've been an acupuncturist and oriental medicine practitioner for going on 30 years. And of the last several years, I've been a student of qualitative research and began to work with a research team over at the University of California, San Francisco in this last year. And that work and that study gave rise to the presentation that I'll be giving today. And so what I want to do is begin a conversation within complementary and alternative medicine practitioners and within the community and those who are thinking about how we can best research the work that we're doing. And the direction that I'm taking and wanting to bring to conversation is to look at mixed methods as a way to look at specifically traditional Chinese medicine research, but it could be for other approaches as well. So today I'd like to look at what is a mixed methods approach, why might we want to use mixed methods, and what is the value of using more than one approach. So mixed methods research provides for both qualitative and quantitative points of view to be used simultaneously. And mixed methods research refers to methods, design, and philosophical assumptions. So to look at defining that a little bit, it's about collecting and analyzing both qualitative and quantitative data in a single study. It's about creating understanding from one method to another and creating translatable information. It's about a convergence or a confirmation of findings from different data sources, and it includes integrating a synthesis of both qualitative and quantitative methods and using different kinds of methods and different kinds of approaches at the same time. I find that there's a growth of mixed methods research out there in doing my own research and publications. And I guess the bring home message for me has been that the whole seems to be greater than the sum of its parts, and which is a reason for looking at both qualitative and quantitative together. So as we start to look at that, we can take a look and say that what is the value of doing this? And in an effort to evaluate systems of traditional Chinese medicine, which is a whole systems medicine to begin with, it really is natural to take both a qualitative and quantitative point of view from the beginning, because for folks who are acquainted with traditional Chinese medicine, it's basically based on gathering information from a person about their lived experience, about their own health care. And so that's the very beginnings, that's the underpinnings that move towards qualitative. And whole systems are complex. There's a complexity that's built in there, specifically to this form of medicine that takes more than one method to actually capture the information, the data, and then finding ways to process this outcome and interventions. So just briefly, traditional Chinese medicine combines a wide variety of modalities to begin with, and the complexities of the interventions that are used and their potential synergistic effects requires an innovative evaluation approach. And in the field of Chinese medicine, we're struggling with that a lot. We're struggling to try and not lose the evaluation into basic clinical research. How do we maintain some of the traditions and gathering of data and bring that into a biosynthesis of research? So basically, classical randomized control trials, we feel that those are limited in their ability to address this need. So that's why we're looking at different ways, and perhaps mixed methods is a way to begin to create measures for that. So integrative research, to take a look at that, is something that needs to be flexible and adaptive and specifically non-hierarchical, as knowledge building is continuous and evolutionary, as we just heard from our last speaker. That was a very good example of that with the Reiki and the babies. And it's my thinking at this point that researchers, for us as researchers, and we must begin to try to take a look at both qualitative and quantitative methods and try to find a way to equalize the value there. And even though there are different ways to apply qualitative and quantitative in a research project and determine where the emphasis and the weight needs to come in, that's a very good challenge for us as researchers. So ideally, in quantitative research, the researcher is an objective observer who neither participates nor influences what is being studied. However, in qualitative research, it is thought that the researcher can learn the most by participating or being immersed in the research situation. And that speaks to a little bit of the tradition that accompanies Chinese medicine, and that's about, takes us back to looking at something called yin and yang. And we all know that yin and yang are in our everyday life, and they're about the opposing forces that are bound together, interdependent, each giving rise to the other. And integrative research offers a broader approach to inquiry. So surveys or interviews that can be conducted, results analyzed, producing data that emphasizes the context for research, this gives rise to further qualitative research and prompts further questions that can be probed and in detail, so that qualitatively, so that the two types can come together, each playing off of the other, so it becomes a more whole picture and outcomes. So, and when we start to look at a quantitative research, we see that Western medicine designs tend to, from a Chinese medicine language perspective, tends to vanquish broad categories or disease or disorders. For example, if you and 100 people at this conference suffer from migraine, then each of those people could be given the same drug to treat the general problem of severe head pain or to counter vascular constriction. And we would look at that as quantitative research. But in Chinese medicine, pain and disease may be a symptom of a number of disorders that affect the complexity of the body, mind, and spirit. The focus is on identifying the underlying disharmony and creating an individualized treatment that is suited to a specific diagnosis. And so what we tend to look at in this, in qualitative research, and that is it's inclusive of the lived experience of the patient, and that becomes part of the research design, part of the evaluation that leads to the analysis. So in thinking about this presentation and putting this together, what began to occur to me is that the project that I've been working on, which I've started to call Meeting in the Middle, which is the Eastern and Western coming together, it's a phase two, randomized, blinded, cancer, integrative, medicine, Chinese herb, efficacy trial for treatment of HSIL in HIV-positive people using both qualitative and quantitative methods. That's a mouthful. But basically, I came to realize that it's like the perfect storm to bring qualitative and quantitative together. So let's look a little bit and just review a little bit for folks, and that is that at anal cancer, HPV-related anal cancer, it's a growing public health concern, especially for immunocompromised people. And the treatment of anal high-grade squamous intraepithelial lesions, known as HSIL, is a cancer precursor lesion that could develop into anal cancer. And currently, there are no treatment algorithms or standards of care for anal HSIL or anal cancer. And the human papillomavirus is a necessary cofactor in the development of both anal and cervical HSIL and cancer. And the product that we developed for this project that I'm about to move into, we call it AIJP. This ointment is derived from Chinese herbal products. It's designed to be non-invasive treatment, and it's a modality, a treatment for both HSIL and cancer to be used topically. So ablation, physical destruction of the lesions, is a standard treatment, but it is invasive with high rates of morbidity. So looking at this project, we began with the long-term goal, which is to develop a non-invasive topical intervention that would permit treatment of large lesions or HSIL in order to develop treatment of HPV-related cancers and to conduct a rigorous randomized placebo-controlled phase two efficacy trial of a topical Chinese herbal cream for 67 HIV-positive men and women with histologically confirmed HSIL using a mixed methods approach. The central hypothesis of this project is that the Chinese herbal topical cream, AIJP, will effectively treat anal HSIL in HIV-positive people. And this hypothesis is being tested by pursuing two specific aims. A phase two randomized blinded cancer integrative medicine Chinese herb efficacy trial for treatment of anal HSIL, and two, to identify potential biological pathways and mechanisms by which the Chinese traditional medicine intervention may have an effect. And under that first aim, we will soon obtain evidence of lesion regression data on efficacy and obtain an effective size for phase three trial. So when I talk about meeting in the middle of all of that, basically, in general, Chinese medicine treatments and Western therapies approach to cancer comes from two different point of view, even though we may have a specific goal in mind. So while most Western cancers focus on treating and destroying the tumor or eliminating the cancer, traditionally the primary goal of Chinese traditional therapy is to create wholeness and harmony within a person, allowing the body to heal itself, and to have the patient be aware of that and participate in that with that attitude of healing. So with this approach, with what we're using, we feel like it's innovative because what we're attempting to do is adapt the knowledge and application of complex traditional Chinese herbal therapies into a modern cancer treatment. The cream itself is designed with traditional methodology and tested with modern scientific methodology for safety, delivery, efficacy, and tolerability. And both Eastern and Western medicine doctors design and are carrying out the study as a team, and the patients are getting the best treatment in both worlds. So the cream itself is a proprietary blend that includes both indigo, jade, and pearl ointment, which traditionally are included in many skin ointments used to treat cancer. There are other formulas, other herbs in it that we cannot disclose at this time. It was developed by Misha Cohen, and it has been tested for both safety and product quality, and it's currently the product that's being used in the double-blind placebo-controlled trial that we're working on. So the benefits to the patients in this study, and that is that the participants in the study received treatment with a TCM receiving a TCM diagnosis. That's a traditional 10 questions and traditional way of looking at the diagnosis of the condition that the patient presents with alongside of the cancer itself. We're using a validated model known as the TEAMC model that's developed and has been tested in a variety of different settings. And it serves to also guide patient participation and develop relationship and patient understanding of what a traditional Chinese medicine intake and diagnosis is about. Participants interact with both Chinese and Western practitioners, and the qualitative tools that were integrated into the study began in the beginning as well. So at this point, we have recruited 67 people into the phase two study. All people have been recruited. And at this point, we believe we have, even though it's double blinded, we have reason to believe that arm A is the real cream and arm B is the placebo. That's what we're led to believe, and we won't know until the study is unblinded at week 60, at the end of that, once the last person has gone through the study. But what we are seeing is a 95% confidence positive response, and that's very high. We're very enthusiastic about this and moving ahead with feeling that we're being effective in the study. The procedural schedule looks something like this, so that we begin with a baseline and go through all the way to week 60, and throughout that process there's a full Western workup, ongoing biopsies, colposcopies, anal smears, and then a full Chinese medicine evaluation that happens at baseline week 24, 48, and 60, and then again an exit interview at week 48 and week 60 as well. So our current phase two randomized blinded efficacy trial, through this we are obtaining evidence of lesion regression and data efficacy on the use of the AIGP cream in general, and we're pleased with what we're identifying as far as potential pathways and mechanisms for the cream to continue to be used. The cream was tested, as I said, in vitro, and we felt strongly about using it after having just made sure of that. And over half of the participants at this point have completed the qualitative portion of the study, consisting of an exit interview have 10 questions. The survey instrument is based on a Likert scale with two open-ended interview questions, and the data gathered from this portion of the study will be analyzed and used to shape the next arm of the study. The exit interview looks something like this. So we have a series of questions that participants are able to consider their responses to that, and then open-ended so that we can gather data that will allow us to think about the next arm for this study. And in closing, I just want to add this. A colleague of mine recently shared this thought, and that is if we want to have different results in our research, we need to find ways to liberate ourselves from the constraints of defining the randomized control as the gold standard for clinical knowledge acquisition. Once this happens, we can build an equitable knowledge base. And I want to thank you for that. And I'd like to answer any questions that folks might have. Donna. The TeamSy tool that I said that we're using ongoingly for the Chinese medicine analysis is about a 30-page document that goes through all the systems of the body with the patient, and that information is gathered at each interaction. So that'll be used as well.
So that's not just to check all the quantitative, so you've got qualitative.
Right, and it's a whole traditional intake and analysis with tongue and pulse and changing in systems and patient perception on those changes as well.
And is that,
it gets used four times.
And is there a control group?
No, there's no control group.
So there's no control group either. No. Quantitative. Well, there wouldn't be qualitative.
Yeah.
So it's not a control group. So you said it was randomized?
No, it's not randomized.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm sorry. I spoke about randomized control studies, this is not randomized. No, it's definitely the folks who are being brought into the study or folks who are seeking treatment and wanting to engage in this form, in this research study, partly because there are so other few options or treatment has failed them in the past. People don't know who has the cream. The cream is... Yes, there's a placebo with the cream. That piece is randomized, yes. And the fact is that we have been very careful to make sure that people are scheduled in different ways and not sitting in the waiting room together to talk about their cream. Only the pharmacist at UCS who dispenses the cream has any idea which of the cream is real and which isn't. The rest of us don't have any sense of that.
Do you know how the registration is done?
I don't with that. But I would love to talk with you more about that, because I could definitely find that for you. Question back there.
Yeah.
I don't quite know how to answer that. Could you ask me that in a different way? Ask me that again. Is it? Yes. So a piece that I didn't go into there, and that is that at four times during those at 60 weeks, there are analoscopies that take place as well, so that all the lesions are photographed, so that we can actually see whether the lesions are healing and going away, or if there are more lesions, but we're able to see lesion change. At the same time, at each of those settings, the tongue is also photographed, which is also a Chinese medicine diagnosis. So one of part of that overlapping is that we have a series of of anal lesions that are photographed and tongues photographed at the same time, so we'll be making those comparisons and making that, that'll be part of the analysis as well. That's a much larger piece of presentation, but. Yeah, what we'll probably do is look for patterns in the comments that people will be writing. I mean, people have written some pretty lengthy statements about what their experiences were like, partly because it's because it does go on for 60 weeks, and the cream is self-applied twice a day. There's an experience there with one's most intimate parts that has been challenging for many people, and we know that that's the reason that some people have dropped out of the study, just because self-application can be difficult. So there, participants have shared a lot for us there, and so we'll be tracking that and looking at patterns and similarities of statements and such for part of the analysis for that. And then the Likert scale will come out with some, we'll see what the stats produce in that. And then the photographs of the lesions and the tongues will be another piece of that as well. Yeah, we really won't know until it's unblinded there to know what's going to happen. Yeah, it's a tool that moves through Chinese diagnosis of the eight principles, so that you go through the different systems that show whether there's heat or cold or phlegm or damp, or so it evaluates that each time. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Correct. Yeah. It's complex at this point, and the thing is that one of the exit interview ended up being added only in the last 6 months, and we went back to the IRB and added it as we started exiting people from the study, because we realized that there were things that we needed to know in order to think about a next phase of this, and that is that because our goal would be to have the next phase be specifically women, we really wanted to think in terms of what type of a product women might be willing to use, and the cream is not really probably the best way to go. We probably want to look at another application, such as suppositories or such. And we learned a lot in those interviews, but otherwise we didn't have a mechanism to gather that until we added the exit interview. Yeah.
And I would just suggest you should do that now.
That's a great suggestion. And that is starting to happen now, because there is, that's got to be taken into consideration rather quickly, and we do have a lot of data that we've collected. And each piece of it is very exciting, actually, but how to weigh that out and really come up with the strongest analysis is going to take some work, for sure. It's true. Yes? That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point, yes. Yeah. Well, thank you all. Thanks for your good input. I appreciate that.